Excuse me, this is the operator. I'd like to inform all parties that today's call is now being recorded. If you object, you may disconnect at this time. All lines are open and interactive. Please utilize your mute button or press star six to mute and unmute your line when not speaking. Thank you, and you may begin.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to the first post-client retention meeting of the client committee, which is a very exciting inflection point in the progress of this committee. This is Greg Shatton, for the record. Why don't we do actual introductions on the call so we hear voices one more time from first from the client committee and then from Sidley and then from ICANN. Jonathan.
I'll leap in first. It's Jonathan King. So I'm Jonathan Robinson, involved with the whole cross-community working group, and I don't think I got to meet Sidley through the interview process or the interview process because I was traveling at the time. So I am involved via the GNSO, Generic Names Group. I am chair of the GNSO Council, that's the GNSO's policy-making body, and as connected to that, I became co-chair of this cross-community working group, and so I co-chair the group with Lisa and I'm with the other colleagues, Lisa, Greg, and Martin on the Glide Committee. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks. Martin?
Yes, it's Maarten Simon. I work with SIDN. We are the manager for the .nl domains, and .nl is a ccTLD, a country code domain, top-level domain that stands for the Netherlands, so in Europe. I'm on the client committee and also active in the CWG group.
Holly, that's over to Sidley.
Hi. Hi, all. I'm Jonathan. Nice to meet you. Martin, nice to talk with you again, and Greg. I'm Holly Gregory. I'm a partner at Sidley and co-head of the Global Corporate Governance Practice at Sidley. I also chair the ABA's Corporate Governance Committee. I'm looking forward to working with you. Rick, do you want to introduce yourself and then pass it on to somebody else on our team?
Okay. This is Rick Boucher. I'm also a partner at Sidley Austin in our Washington office. I'm chair of our government strategies practice, served in Congress for 28 years prior to arriving at Sidley approximately 4 years ago. And I'm also very much looking forward to working with the team from ICANN and the Cross Community Working Group. Ed, are you on the call, or Cam?
Ed is on the call. This is Ed McNicholas at Sidley Austin in Washington, D.C. as well. I am one of the co-leaders of Sidley's Global Privacy, Data Security, and Information Law Practice. I think Sharon's on as well.
Hi, this is Sharon Flanagan. I'm a corporate partner at Sidley, and I also manage our San Francisco office. Josh?
Yeah, this is Josh Hoffheimer from Sidley. I'm also a corporate partner on the West Coast and work with some frequency with nonprofits.
I don't know. Is Cameron on the call? Cam Carey? So I believe he was traveling and wasn't going to be able to make it this morning, but Cam Carey is another important member of our team. He's a former general counsel and former acting secretary of Commerce Department. And will be a key person on the team. We also, I believe, have on the team two associates, Vivek Mohan and Tenny Tam, and that's our team. I'm also sitting here with Janet Zagorin, who is our client services officer, who helped us get to this point. So with that, you've heard from our side, and we can turn it over to the ICANN folks.
Sam?
Hi. Sam Eisner here. I've lost my voice over the weekend. So maybe one of you can introduce me for me, or I can type into the room.
Sam Eisner is an associate general counsel at ICANN. She works has been working closely with the committee in the whole selection process, she's been with ICANN for several years before that with Jones Day, having a combination of laryngitis and having to wake up for a relatively early call, I apologize, but unfortunately, as you know, duty call. Anything further you want to say? That's the basic. So I think that introduces everybody, we can turn to the first substantive agenda item, which is a discussion of the rules of engagement. I have apologies for only circulating those late last evening, but I think some of them are relatively self-evident. Some may require a little discussion. This is a discussion draft, so it should be treated as such. Basic principles, you know, above useful, timely advice, obviously, but you never know, and transparency and accountability, a little bit more unusual for a practice or a process like this. I would probably also add third, creating an appropriate written record as well, which may be seen as part of transparency and accountability, but is worth mention in itself, given the concern and emphasis on deliverable. Basically, 2 and 3 are, in a sense, very simple at the highest level, which is that we will be using the client committee email list for all business, even if it's just business between two people on this call, unless it's internal. Now, ICANN legal business or internal Sidley business. I think all business of the client committee itself should be conducted on this call, and all business amongst the team should be here for maximum transparency, and to create a record and an archive of what's going on. And I see a question mark. Yeah, client committee list is publicly archived, unless. There's a reason not to. Again, we're trying to work on maximum transparency and kind of with sunshine. If there's any need for anything in particular that should be kind of off the record or off the public record, we can we can discuss that. There may possibly be such things, but the default position is the public record. That really kind of covers emails in a nutshell. Any questions on emails? For those of you who are new to Adobe Connect, if you are in Adobe Connect, you can raise your hand by clicking on the little guy with the raised hand above the list of attendees. Seeing no hands and hearing no other interjections, move on to conference calls.
Well, I do have a question, Greg. This is Holly.
Yes, Holly.
We have agreed in the retention letter in the next 4 to 6 weeks, but with ICANN, to track our hours on a weekly basis and provide that information to ICANN. Do we need to, and I don't mind sharing it with the client committee as well, but will that be public?
My instinct is that does not need to be public. If there are any objections to that, that I think is kind of a little bit of business,
yep,
as opposed to substance. Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think three things, Greg. Just to reiterate what you said, I mean, this is a standard method of working for us using the Adobe Connect, and we find it. We've got used to the habit of working. It's not a conventional conference call, but it does make it very easy to manage the sequence of speakers and the record of progress. So I think that's a useful point. I have no
objection to the fee reporting or the hourly reporting going back to ICANN. I guess the only issue there is, no, I don't think there's any problem. It's really about monitoring it. If all of the hours spent are effectively transparent via use of the conference calls and so on, I guess there'll be work going on in the background. In principle, I don't have an objection to it, and I think maybe what we should do is just clarify anything that is off-list.
Well, if I may, Jonathan,
Holly, just before you go ahead, your sound is pretty soft, and, you know, if I strain, I can hear it, which is fine, and I suspect others, but it's also for the volume on the recording, so I don't know if you can speak closer to the microphone or up the amplification. That would be helpful. Thanks.
So I'll pick up the speaker. Is this better?
Better.
Okay. So I just wanted to make clear that the reporting of hours that I was talking about is just this initial reporting that we agreed to do for the first 4 to 6 weeks so that we could then help construct a budget. And, of course, I would expect that there will be transparency around the hours that we spend on a monthly basis and the fees is my guess that ICANN would that you and ICANN would expect that to be public.
I think that, as I said, the default is public. So unless there's some reason we don't think it should be public, you know, even I have to fight my own natural instincts toward discretion in these types of relationships. So I would think as long as there's nothing that could be misconstrued or that it really is kind of confidential, they should all be public. Anything else on this point? I think further on the conference calls, as Jonathan mentioned, Adobe Connect is the system that we use at ICANN. And for those of you from Sidley who made it in to the Adobe Connect, congratulations. And this is a rite of passage and something that you will or should be getting very used to as you work with us and with the CWG. And it really does provide a lot of modalities for communication and capture. So pretty good process all along. For those of you who didn't get in this time, we'll see you on Adobe Connect the next time. Every once in a while, there are times when people literally can't be in front of a computer. That's understood. And then we just keep track of that elsewhere. So it makes perfect sense that it happens from time to time. Basically, we should try to use the Adobe Connect even for ad hoc calls. If we can grab a call, grab an Adobe Connect. If not, we shouldn't let the process slow us down too much. And if we have a choice between losing a lot of time and using Adobe Connect, we shouldn't lose a lot of time, but where possible, we should use this system. And if we don't use this system, then there should be somebody taking notes, ideally a member of ICANN staff, and distributing that and then archiving it onto the wiki for the CWG. And, if there's one-on-one calls, I don't think there's a need for Adobe Connect. There should be some summary record of the call. For those of us familiar with the joys of timekeeping, that shouldn't be too big a burden. On the other hand, I would love more than anything else not to have to keep time, but I do. Not for these calls, thankfully, since nobody's paying. In any case, the last item here, so I think that any call between Sidley Austin and ICANN Legal should be a three-way call with at least one member of the client committee. Again, just for transparency. And to for the greatest perception, given the posture of kind of who is taking who is giving advice and or giving instructions and taking advice. Then with regard to anything further, I see Jonathan's hand.
Thanks, Greg. Just check what your objective in using Adobe Connect. Is it for the purposes of having a recording? Is that the main purpose? Because I think it sounds to me like the purpose is transparency. I mean, it's a little bit of a sledgehammer to crack a nut between if there's a call between two people, which is relatively unlikely, I think. I mean, I suspect much of the business will be transacted by a regular call. So I just want to make sure I understand what the purpose is. Is it for the purpose of using a recording of the call?
Well, it's both to use the recording and to have the other records that are here. For calls between any two people, as I say, calls between individual members of the client committee and Sidley Austin team need not use Adobe Connect. So maybe that should be phrased a little more strongly, that they aren't expected to use it. So if Holly wants to call me up and says, Greg, I don't know, I want to ask you a question about this, she doesn't need to get an Adobe Connect call, but if somebody says, I think we need to have a call right as soon as possible among the Sidley team and the client committee that's not regularly scheduled, but we just need to grab some time, it'll be at least worth a shot to see if we could do it through Adobe Connect. Basically, the idea is that calls like this, whether or not scheduled, should be on Adobe Connect, and smaller groups or dyads and triads, even quadrads, if there is such a thing, shouldn't need to use Adobe Connect. I hope that's a little clearer.
I think it's clear on our side.
Thanks. And then I didn't get this is as far as I got before I had to peel off from working on this. That memoranda should be and deliverables prepared by Sidley should be prepared with the understanding that they'll be shared with the CWG, either by putting them on this our mailing list for our group or by being sent to the full CWG mailing list, and that final versions of all documents must be sent to the full mailing list. Again, this is a discussion draft, and I'm not looking to be highly prescriptive or rigid. But these are kind of the general tendencies we should have so that we have kind of maximum transparency and dissemination. Jonathan. I see your hand is up. Jonathan's hand is not up.
Greg, my hand's up.
Okay, Holly.
And I promise I'll be on Adobe Connect for the next call. In terms of, at Sidley, we expect that internally, as we're drafting documents, we will be circulating things internally before we've decided that they're ready to share with anybody in the client committee or the CWG. Can we have that expectation that until as we're just working on things internally, those drafts are not what you're saying need to be public?
Absolutely. Make that clear as under the conference call. And emails that any internal communications within the Sidley team are not expected to be online or sent to anybody else. That's sausage making.
Great.
So until we get to group sausage making, and then things will it may start hitting the list. And as Sam clarifies in the chat, anything that is sent to the CWG. It is considered public, and while I don't know that thousands of people are reading our list, it's clear that from time to time there are a lot of people that do look at the list, including press and even members of Congress, or at least their staffs. That's about it for the rules of engagement up to this point. If there are any rules that people are thinking of right now, we can bring them up. If not, we can deal with them on the client committee list. I can also, I have this posted as a Google Doc, and I can share the doc with everyone on this team, share the link on the client list so that we can work on it.
Greg, one more question. In the last day or two, we've had many emails flying around for very simple ministerial things like scheduling a call. And to some extent, you know, those can be disclosed, but it provides a whole lot of noise in the system. We on our side in Sidley are going to try to coordinate among ourselves and not share with you individually each person's availability and respond to those emails. I'm wondering if there's some capacity on your side to do the same and to suggest up a call to Sidley when you've, you know, when you feel like you've got critical mass on your side.
I think that's a very wise suggestion. We do want a good signal-to-noise ratio on the list, and certainly we can just communicate amongst the few of us as to availability and then come up with a, you know, proposed time or times that works for us, for instance, and not keep, not have all of that drip onto the list. Although in many cases that stuff is on these lists, and it does, frankly, it does result in an avalanche of stuff, and less avalanche the better. That certainly makes sense. Jonathan.
Thanks, Craig. I'll just be very brief. The purpose of this client committee is to be efficient and in part with an eye on costs. So I think Holly's suggestion is very sensible, and I think it's incumbent on all of us to the best of our ability, use the client list substance and, in your words, retain a high signal-to-noise ratio. That sounds very attractive to me. Related to that, I'm not sure that all emails should be copied to the main CWG list, as you ask in point E, 2E. It strikes me that the purposes of having a separate list is precisely that, to have a transparent archive, but not necessarily to publish it for the sake of publishing it. So that would be my two cents worth on that final point. But mostly, let's keep it lean and functional and substantial.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you for picking up on the bracketed language, which I did skip over and which did need comment. I agree with you. I put it on there because I didn't want to dismiss an idea out of hand, but I agree that, you know, given that these lists are publicly archived and anybody wants to track our conversations, they can do so. We don't need to copy it onto the main list, which is already a very high stream of information, and definitely should segregate these, except when we have something that we need to say to the CWG as a whole. Then, of course, we go to the list. Martin, Simone.
Yes, I have a question, and that is, it's a public list, and I know it's archived somewhere on the CWG site. How fast is the archiving? Is it live, or is it, how fast is that done?
It's a live archive.
It's a live archive. Okay.
Yeah, it's the, I believe we use Mailman, which is a very simple, low-tech email program, and it archives along. I see Sam has asked in the chat, do you have ways that you're expecting to get assignments? This is asked to Holly. Would this be something you'd expect to happen in a conversation or through email? To Greg, is there thought about who is able to provide the official assignments to Sidley? That's probably a good segue with the next subject, discussion of substantive work plan. I would think that we would want to memorialize assignments, even if given orally, to memorialize them via email, so that there's both clarity about them and a record of them. What's your thought on that, Holly?
Well, Greg, I think when we're discussing assignments, because there's often needs to be some iteration and give and take to help make sure that they're well-defined and well-understood, I would expect that most assignments are discussed by phone, and then once there's agreement around what the assignment is and the scope and some sense of the expected deliverable and a time frame, that it's memorialized in an email. I am concerned about trying to negotiate and iterate on assignments and get that clarity by email. So that would be our preference in most circumstances. We did want to ask, and I think it's a related process point on your side, you know, we've got the client committee. Is the client committee working as a team the point for giving assignments, or are there persons within the client committee who are authorized to be the point persons with us? So, for example, on our side, we're expecting that myself and Ed, on a daily basis, are going to be the point people, and we will make sure that we coordinate with our team and get the right people involved at the right time in an effort to keep costs controlled and to be efficient. I would think similarly on your side, there needs to be one or two people who are sort of the daily potential contacts, but I put that out there for discussion.
Thanks, Holly. That's an excellent question. It's not one that we've fully discussed on our side or even discussed per se. I would expect that I would be one of those people, and I guess we'd need to figure out kind of among Jonathan, Lisa, and Martin who else should be in that group. I expect it wouldn't be that you'd get assignments from four different angles, but that we would be coordinating on our side before you got any type of an assignment, and again, that most assignments would come on a call in terms of to discuss and refine the assignment before it's decided what it is, as opposed to, you know, just sending an email that says, you know, please do a 50-state survey of privacy laws or something like that. Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
Thanks, Craig. And I was sort of in position to speak to Holly's point, and she captured it well, I think. There's a couple of thoughts I have here. One is that we should coordinate internally, and I think I feel comfortable with us coordinating internally, not necessarily on the client list, again, with the interest of keeping the noise levels down, and to the extent that that causes concerns or issues, we'll address those. Second, so we should coordinate, and then second, I think that we need, and we have discussed previously the concept of a quorum within the client committee. I think in practice, you are right, you will likely be a significant point person, but I would like it to be, I would like us to try working with a minimum of two being the quorum for meetings and the like. I think it'll give a greater degree of comfort in terms of both transparency and confidence in what's being communicated. And ideally, one of those two is a co-chair. And for me, that's in essence a form of proposal or a thought, but it feels about right to me. So we don't insist on having three or four at every meeting. We try and work with a minimum of two, one of whom is the co-chair. I think in practice that will often turn out to be you and a co-chair. But to the extent that others are available and would like to join and we coordinate internally, I think that will be both workable and not too unwieldy. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think that makes good sense, and I think it also, you know, makes the best use of all four of us. And certainly I wouldn't want to insist that I, you know, be on every call or be part of every work assignment. That would be both megalomaniacal and not a good working method. So I think if Martin or I and one of the chairs or, you know, some combination of the four that makes sense are there, that should be good enough. And I see Sam in the chat saving her voice. We need to be clear if someone were to write in an email, quote, it would be great if they could tell us about X, whether that is an assignment, or if there should be more consideration before that is sent over as an assignment. I think there should be at least some confirmation and discussion of what that actually means in terms of time, deliverable, et cetera, and, you know, things that are seen. There may be some trial balloons floated on the list, but they shouldn't all be taken as assignments until there's some level of confirmation. I think a lot of this will probably become more self-evident than it seems from this conversation as we get into a groove of working together. And, you know, obviously all of us have worked in client relationships, for many years, and therefore this is not exactly a completely foreign process, even if we are, you know, adding, you know, a couple of extra twists to it. Jonathan?
Yeah, it's a yes and no, Greg. I understand and agree with you in many ways, but I do think this is extraordinary for both sides, so we do need to tread a little carefully. It's an interesting problem we've got because we have the need for speed and the general impatience, and at the same time, the need to be structured and organized. So I think, for me, an instruction must be clearly an instruction or what you call an assignment, and it must be an instruction clearly signed off by at least two of the client committee. And then that gives us the freedom to kind of discuss on list, although to some extent we may need to work off list as well for the avoidance of doubt, but it does give us the freedom to, as you say, float trial balloons and have discussions on list without those taken to be an instruction. I don't know quite how we're going to manage this. It's going to be a little challenging at first, but I think we'll find our pace and figure out how to do it. But that feels like to answer Sam's question, that we need to make it clear if we're asking for a piece of work to be done. And there may be some general level of both monitoring and contribution to the list that's a necessary part of the engagement, but any substantial piece of work should be clearly given as instruction.
Sounds good. I think that's just right, Jonathan. Couple of things I'm seeing in kind of back chatter. In terms of the CWG mailing list as a whole, I don't think we'd expect all of you to sign on to that, although you could be, but, you know, we wouldn't want to be paying all of you to read that email list. I can barely, it's difficult to keep up. I think we would do well to send you the key emails. It might be that you might want to have one of your associates monitor the list on a slightly more regular basis. We'll just have to figure out how to account for that. Because I think it's important for you to see what the list looks like and how it goes, but to be bathing in that stream every day would be both very time-consuming, resource-consuming, and expensive. So need to find a balance between understanding how the CWG as a whole works, and drowning in it.
Greg, we'll take your advice, and we'll have an associate who follows it and keeps us informed at a high level.
That sounds good. And then I think that's about. And then I think we'll put you on the calendar for our calls. I don't think that you would necessarily be on every call, we do want you on tomorrow's call to introduce you and as many of the team that can make the call. But that's actually skipping agenda items.
And that call is currently scheduled for 1 o'clock Eastern, correct?
Let me just double-check my calendar. I don't like to go off memory. Yes, it is 1 o'clock Eastern.
How long do you expect that call to go?
All of these calls are scheduled for 2 hours, but that doesn't mean that you need to be on for 2 hours.
I will have a hard stop tomorrow at 2 because I'm on an EthicSphere panel.
Okay, so it sounds like you'd be on the first hour. We introduce you and have you talk sometime during the first hour, then you excuse yourself. So you'll get some sense before the call comes to you of how the call works and what it looks like when one of these Adobe Connect rooms has 30 or 40 people in it. From all around the world, and then, you know, take the calls after that from there. So I think it's a good point in time, and now we're at 10:38, so we don't have much time, relatively speaking, to talk about.
We have one other question about
the
process that I wanted to raise around drafts. So will there be – I take it from the rules of engagement that there's not going to be much ability for us to share a draft with the client community and get feedback on that draft before it's public?
Well, I think if we feel that the best practice is to have some things looked at a little more quietly, we should explore that, because I think, you know, there's always a balance between transparency and showing people too much work in progress, which sometimes can give people the wrong idea about where a project is going, mm-hmm. Because all they see is a part of it. They don't have the discussions. They don't have the context. So it can create more trouble than it's worth. So I think that there is, I think we should look at, especially in the case of more rough or complex documents, having, a little bit of off the list work done until it's something that at least can kind of surface on the list. So, I would look at that as being a pragmatic consideration.
I would think especially in the early parts of the relationship as we're trying to get into sort of an understanding of sort of how you expect us to tee up information and respond to requests, it would be very helpful if we could have some ability to share some of the initial drafts with...
I think that makes perfect sense. I mean, this committee has been going for several months. Some people have spent probably hundreds of hours on it already. Many of the people involved in the committee have been involved with ICANN for 5, 10, 15, or even close to 20 years. And you're coming in, to a situation where there's a lot of mature opinion and stuff. So I think that it's best to kind of provide a certain level of discretion to early efforts, because there's some people who will wonder why you can't act as if you've been doing ICANN work 40 hours a week for 20 years. So speaking of work, I think we should move on to discuss, what we think the kind of first actual work. Martin, I see your hand is up.
Yes, this is it's about the idea of sharing how do you call it? Sorry, I got this. But the idea, I have a bit of a difficulty with the discussion we just had, Holly and Greg just had, because I understand it's on the one side it's difficult to share everything, even if it's just in the early stage of a final version. On the other hand, I think transparency is key here. So I wonder what the real problem would be to even share those documents that are far from final.
I think we're all feeling our way through this, and especially, this is unique for all of us, and for Sidley too, getting used to the ICANN way of things and transparency, and we have a number of people who are almost like the transparency police. None of whom are on this call, but who will make themselves known. So maybe we should see about sharing everything. And Holly, if there's any particular issue with any particular document, we can always just hop on the phone, two of us or something, and try to iron things out. But I think we should try wherever possible, even if we have to call something an early discussion draft. So if it's anything other than just feeling like you may be way off base on something, or just need to have a primer on something, err on the side of having it on the list. Jonathan, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I was tempted to pass, but I think I want to acknowledge Martin's concern, but I think you've pretty much covered it. I think we have to feel our way a little here and see. It's not immediately clear without a concrete example. So I think we've given ourselves the opportunity via the notes to potentially take things offline, and I think we should make it very clear to the CWG that's in part as we establish a new way of working. I'm sure some people will push against that,
and we can clarify that it is our intention to be as transparent as we possibly can and as open as we possibly can, and we'll work with it as we go. I think we need to try and establish some confidence that we're working in the best interests of all here and not in the interests of secrecy for its own sake. But immediately something's not on this, you're right, we do risk rattling the cage of one or more participants.
Understood.
Thanks, Jonathan. Now, in terms of kind of what the first work should be, I'll throw out an idea of something that's been discussed a little bit. You know, we did have the legal scoping document that is full of questions. And while I've told the CWG more than once that the quote-unquote legal advice won't consist of answers to those questions, that legal advice is really something more, you know, complex and developed than just a Q&A, that at a kind of FAQ level, it may make good sense and give a lot of comfort to members of the committee, and as well try to, you know, to begin to sort out some of the issues by answering those questions on a kind of FAQ level, not a research level or a fully developed level, but at a fairly high and relatively understandable level.
So, Greg, I think we're thinking along similar lines, but before we get to that kind of specific point, there are two things I'd like to suggest or request. One, generally, and then we can talk in more detail about how to do it, is we do think on our side that we need to schedule some time with the client committee or appropriate members of the client committee to have a diligence discussion where you folks take us through the proposals that are on the table as reflected in that scoping draft and give some indication of how they came to be, what were the driving considerations behind them, what were the, what are they grounded in and based on? That would be very helpful from a diligence perspective for us. The second thing that I think we need to focus on is what do you want us to try to accomplish before the Istanbul meeting? We can certainly take that list of questions from the scoping document and take a fairly FAQ high-level approach to them, but I wanted to make sure that given the short time between now and Istanbul, wherever you want us to focus, we've got the right priorities that align with yours.
I think those are both excellent suggestions, requests. Will save us a lot of pain in the immediate future. Jonathan, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks, Greg, and thanks, Holly. I agree; those are good points, and I think we should jump on a call to have those first items discussed. That diligence call, as you suggested, would be called, or Holly, as soon as possible. I'm not 100% clear what our objectives are for Istanbul, and it may be that we need to have that diligence call to sort of see what percolates out. I am conscious that we've got 2 weeks. Then the meeting in Istanbul, then a requirement to produce in pretty short order after that a draft for public comment. So I think it would be good to hatch out a plan with you, and as I say, possibly based on that diligence call, that might help us do that in conjunction with the work we're doing. Because talking with Lisa last night, we will be under some pressure in Istanbul to dedicate some portion of that meeting to what we might call the legal issues or the issues in and around separation, which are in many ways synonymous or can be closely linked together. So I think we probably need to do that diligence call to do the scoping and then see what makes sense. But certainly we will be under pressure to produce some, to allocate some portion of Istanbul to this. And frankly, we need it because as we produce a draft for public comment, ideally elements of that will be required. And that's what bothered me when I sort of reread or read the engagement letter today, because the engagement letter talks about a 4 to 6 week familiarization process, and that's in one sense out of sync with
well,
the project as it currently
no, I don't think that the 4 to 6 weeks that we indicate in the letter is about a familiarization process at all. I think that that's really about understanding how much time we're spending so that we could give ICANN a better estimate about budget. So that 4 to 6 weeks is just sort of let's look at the time we're spending so that we can then try to estimate out what the budget is. It's not 4 to 6 weeks of learning and diligence on our side. We think in the next 4 to 6 weeks we would be diving in and providing you with legal advice.
That's Jonathan. I read it the first your way the first time, then went back and read it Holly's way the second time, and when I went back the third time, I read it the way Holly read it. So that's what I figured. It's really more for it's more of the budgeting exercise to kind of get a sense of the flow and time that this is taking, and it's not a sense that this is that's kind of a ramp up for substance purposes. So I think that we should schedule that kind of due diligence or diligence call, on as soon as possible, which I would suggest Wednesday, since tomorrow we have the call and that's also kind of just close to other things happening. So perhaps we can, I don't know if this time works for people or we can just each side kind of check its their own times as was suggested.
I'm sorry, are you suggesting tomorrow, did I hear?
No, not tomorrow, but Wednesday.
Wednesday. I am not available Wednesday at 10 o'clock, but I could do afternoon. After.
So why don't you see what what works
for
you?
We'll figure out a time internally to suggest on Wednesday and Thursday.
Sounds good. And Thursday we have our CWG call. I believe it's at 7 a.m. Eastern, which is 1100 UTC. Not that that's going to interfere with scheduling on your side, but I just mention it for the purposes of completeness. Now, in terms
Greg,
of, and I think
I suggest it's Jonathan. Greg. It's John.
Yes, please.
I suggest we consider when Holly comes back with the proposed times for Wednesday, Thursday, Tuesday, we should also have some slots on Tuesday. And if it is possible that we can work on Tuesday, that may be let's have a look Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and just any slots you can give us. And
certainly. We'll
us
do.
On the client, he can respond to those. Thanks.
Good idea, Jonathan. No time to waste. I think we can put off further discussion of substantive work plan till the diligence calls take place. And in terms of prep for Sidley portion of Tuesday call is the next item. I see Sam's note in the chat should be made clear that Sidley will not be expected to give legal advice on the fly during tomorrow's call. That certainly makes sense to me, and which should be part of the introduction. So it seems to me fairly straightforward that we'd want to introduce Holly and as many of the team as should be on the call. I don't necessarily want to give the impression that eight people are going to be needed for every activity, but we should certainly introduce people. I think give a sense, if possible, kind of who the core team is going to be, which I think is, as you said, is going to be you and Ed, and then what other people will bring to the party as we go along. Jonathan.
Yes, so Greg, maybe I misheard you there, but I would be comfortable with a minimum of two people from Sidley on the call, providing those people were prepared to speak to who was in the team as a whole and field general questions. And to Sam's point earlier, I think it is not about providing legal advice. This is about an introduction, and I expect really, I'm happy to tee this up, that the focus should be on how you're going to work, how can we trust that you don't have conflicts, how can we trust transparency. It's those kind of procedural and points rather than substantial legal points at this stage. So that's my two cents worth, at least a couple, probably not the whole team, almost certainly not the whole team, and an ability to answer those kind of questions. Thanks.
Jonathan, that makes perfect sense to me, and that was probably what I was struggling to say, but you actually said it. So that was very helpful. That's probably all we really need. I guess, Holly, or your team, any questions about your prep or what you should be prepared on top of what Jonathan said, which is an excellent summary?
I don't have any questions, but I invite the team, Ed and Rick and Sharon and Josh, if you have any questions. You know, one of the things that we're doing as a process internally is I want to make clear to all the members of the team that they're welcome to join in on any call in the interest of our internal transparency, but we will make sure that people are billing on an as-needed basis.
Thank you, Holly. Obviously, always good when people educate themselves in their copious free time. Anything, Jonathan? Old hand. Well, we're up at 5 minutes before the hour, which I think, one other question that we had kind of to sub A, which Martin has brought up in the chat, is to whether we can publish the engagement letter and also suggested publishing the rules of engagement beforehand. It may need a little bit more work, but we could publish them as a draft. I might want to take into account some of what our discussion was today about those. Jonathan, I see a new hand.
Thanks, Greg. I think if possible, we do publish both. And one other thing we should do, not necessarily on the call now, is schedule a regular meeting. I think we found that in practice it's better to have a regular meeting that you cancel should it not be needed than not have one there at all. And I think certainly for the next couple of weeks, I can see that we'll need a minimum of one meeting per week. So I suggest we get that in all of our diaries in short order. So in addition to that diligence call we're proposing in the next two or three days, that we schedule a weekly meeting. And maybe Friday is the first time to kick off on that, given everything else that's going on this week, and then run it perhaps Fridays from now on.
I do suggest that if you publish the retention letter, and we're fine with you publishing that, that you also publish the summary of terms almost as a cover to it, so that it draws out of all of the boilerplate what the key terms are. We think it adds clarity.
Absolutely, and I think for most of the members, that will probably be the document they pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the full document for those who want to see such things. So I think, Holly, I guess in addition to looking at times Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for our diligence call, we should look at a time on Friday that works for kind of a regular call. Although I have a feeling we'll be talking more than that in the next couple of weeks up to Istanbul.
Okay.
I think that brings us to all other business. Jonathan? Jonathan, you may be on mute.
Sorry, I'm not being very diligent at dropping my hand, so I apologize.
That's okay. Another thing to learn for our Sidley folks is that hand management is a skill, and that requires diligence and mm-hmm. Persistence.
Greg, on our side, we do have one other request.
Yes, please.
Someone had mentioned, I think it was you on a call with the I think a call on the retention, that there would be an effort to put together for us sort of a must-read list. There is so much material out there, and we're gathering it, but if somebody on your side could take the time to think about, here are the 5, 10, 20 key things that this team must be sure to see, that would be very helpful.
Absolutely. Thank you for renewing that request. And it was something that floated on the list, I think, from my end as well. I think it would be a subset of the bibliography that we've posted, but the whole set would be daunting. So I think we'll prioritize that for you.
Thank
and work
you.
On doing that as soon as possible. Maybe we can put a version of that up in the Google Docs and just have people weigh in as to something that everyone agrees makes sense. Anything else from anybody else?
Ed, did we cover what we needed to cover? Do you have anything else?
No, I think we have the items that we wanted to address covered well. We certainly have a good amount of work in front of us. So,
I guess one last point to kind of at least float out there is whether the presence of at least one Sidley person should be in Istanbul.
Well, and we can talk about that in the diligence call as well. You know, and we can certainly do that. I'll be in London earlier that week, and it's not a big deal to travel over. But depending on what you might want to discuss, it may be appropriate to have Ed or someone else. So let's talk about that in more detail when we get to the diligence discussion and some thought about what you want to accomplish in Istanbul.
Absolutely.
It's one of my favorite cities, so I'm be thrilled to go.
I've never been, so I'm looking forward to it.
Holly, just so you know, I am in London. I'm based in London, and I will be in London on Monday of that week. So it's possible we could meet on the Sunday or the Monday in any event. So just bear that in mind, and we can decide that as we get closer to scheduling things, that may be a sensible thing to do.
Terrific. I'll be there on Sunday and Monday, then with schedule to come home, but could stay over to go to Istanbul. So
good that you're halfway there already.
Yeah.
So yes, let's discuss that on the diligence call. We are now one past the hour, so I think it is a good time for us to wrap up. We will many of us will be on the call tomorrow at 1700 UTC, 1 o'clock Eastern. I look forward to seeing you there and to seeing the work on the list and getting our diligence call scheduled.
And Greg, one point about tomorrow's call, I may not be at a computer because I'll be out of the office, but I'll try to figure out a way to do the Adobe Connect.
If you have a smartphone or a tablet, you can do Adobe Connect on that. It's not the smaller the screen, the less ideal the experience, but you at least have a chance to, you know, be part of the chat list and look, you know, be able to see what's going on. A little hard to read documents in the screen on an iPhone, but it's just better to get the software loaded up in advance.
Terrific.
But whatever you have, iPhone, Android, there's Adobe Connect in this appropriate place. Cannot vouch for Windows Phone. In any case, I think that brings us to the end of the call. Obviously, any questions anytime, my door is open. And I'm sure we'll all be in close touch. So thank you, and we'll all be together, or many of us will be together tomorrow. Bye all.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.